Then Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. Amen." Have you ever wanted to say that out loud? "Away with you, Satan." Not whisper it, not negotiate, not debate, just say it. "Away with you, Satan." Now that line is not overly dramatic. It is actually victory language. And the reason you can say it is because Jesus said it first. But to understand that, we have to go back to the beginning, in the garden where the serpent spoke. The serpent did not begin with fangs. He begins with a question. Did God really say it? And that is always how it starts. Not with obvious evil, not with something monstrous or sci-fi, but with a question about the word. Did God really say it? Is that really sin? Is that really necessary? Is that really true? And Adam should have said three words back to the old evil foe, "Away with you." But he didn't. He just stayed on the line. You know how that works. You get a call from an unknown number. They say they are your bank. They may sound very convincing. They even know something about you. But something is off. The tone, the timing, the script of it all. And the longer you stay on the line, the more dangerous it becomes. So the safest move there is not to debate them. What is it? It is simply to hang up. Adam didn't hang up. He listened. He entertained and then he ate. And because he did, we inherit the bite. So the Lord speaks a promise in Genesis 3:15. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." A heel will be struck. A head will be crushed. And so we move from the garden to the wilderness. The Spirit, it is the Spirit who leads Jesus out there. And that's not accident, folks. That's not weakness, but that's a plan. Jesus goes out on the line where Adam fell. And the voice, of course, returns, "If you are the Son of God." That's identity attack. "Turn these stones into bread." But it's not about bread. It's about trust. "Use your power. Relieve yourself. Prove it." Adam had abundance, and yet he doubted. Jesus has nothing, and yet he trusts. It is written, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Not appetite, not impulse, just word. Because he stands in the word, we can say it. We can say, "Away with you, Satan." We can say it because he can say it. Then they're at the temple, the holy place, a religious setting. "Throw yourself down," is what the serpent speaks. "Take the shortcut to glory. Be a crossless Messiah and prove it publicly." The devil, he even quotes Psalm 91. Yes, he knows Bible verses, but he just bends them. And to that, Jesus answers, once again, "It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." There isn't going to be any spectacle here, no shortcuts, because another hill is coming. "Away with you, Satan." Then the next temptation is the kingdoms of the world, all of them. Yet the kingdoms of the world already belong to Jesus. But you see, what Satan is doing is he is offering them without thorns, crown without cross, glory without suffering. "Worship me," because worship is trust. And the Lord Jesus answers again, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." No heroics, no grit, just the Son remaining in the Father's word. "Away with you, Satan," and the devil must leave. Do not miss what it costs. The serpent will strike the heel at the cross. That bite lands. Blood does flow. And here's something strange. When someone is bitten by a venomous snake, the natural instinct is to panic. But what saves them? What saves is anti-venom. And anti-venom is made from venom. The very thing meant to kill us is used to create the cure. At the cross, Satan strikes, blood flows, but that blood becomes the cure. What was meant to destroy the Savior becomes the destruction of the serpent. He shall bruise your head. The bite that should have ended Christ ends the devil's claim instead. And that, dear church, is why the blood of Jesus silences accusation. When that blood is given to you in baptism, in absolution, in the Lord's Supper, then the serpent has no claim. He can hiss, he can accuse, he can tempt, but he cannot stay. Because you belong to Christ. You are baptized into his death. You are clothed with his righteousness. And therefore, you stand where he stands. So when the serpent speaks, he is speaking to someone already covered in the blood that crushed him. When he whispers, "You are not forgiven," speak the away with you. When he says, "God is holding out on you," away with you. When suffering comes and he hisses and he says, "See, God has abandoned you," no, away with you, Satan. Not because you are strong, but because Christ crushed his head. Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, "We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain." Well, how would we receive it in vain? By going back and listening to the serpent. Christian life does not look like spectacle. What it does look like is endurance, afflictions, hardships, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, having nothing yet possessing everything. That is wilderness faith, and that is Lent. Lent is not you proving something to God. It's learning to recognize the serpent's voice, and it is learning to hang up. It is learning to answer with the word. The first Adam did not listen. The second Adam has to, for him. When the first Adam hides, the second Adam stands in our place and speaks. And that is why now in him you can speak. Not bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. The word defeats the devil. The very word that feeds you, the very word that was crucified for you, the very word that rose again on the third day. Because his victory is not mere history, it is your present tense now, it is a victory that you stand inside. The word that defeated him now dwells in you. So, when that old evil sly foe comes again, and he will. You do not debate. You do not negotiate. You say what your Lord said. Away with you, Satan. In the name of Jesus.